and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I don't know why you wanted me to pray this prayer this morning, but I do know that upon salvation, this is the promise that you give to all of us, that you will do this in between pastures, and you will provide for us. You will leave us beside the still waters and thirsty. You will restore our soul. You will lead us in righteousness. You will protect us when we are in the shadow of death or on other things. You give us things that comfort us on the way. You prepare the table for us. And in the end, Lord, you will receive us in the covenant. God, we just pray that whoever this is meant for today, maybe it's myself or someone else, for today or sometime in the future, I pray that you take that into their hearts and that they would remember it and in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Richard. It is all about God. It's all about God. So last week we talked about God, who He is. But one thing that we didn't talk much about was God as Creator, and that's not necessarily my subject here this morning. And while creation is more about what God has done, creation itself does tell us a lot about who God is. In fact, Romans chapter 1 specifically tells us that we can even learn about His power and Godhead through what we see in creation, through the things that are made. And that includes you and I. So that leads us really to the next big question. The series that I'm going through is all about some of the biggest questions in the world. The first one was, who is God? The second one here this morning is, who am I? Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? All right. And before we go there, I want to talk just a minute about this place that we do live, and I'm not specifically talking about Mesquite, but really the creation that we live in. Because it, creation, tells us a lot about God and His relationship to us. It tells us a lot about who we are. All right? Does anybody here have a dog? Oh my goodness. Okay. A lot of people have a dog. Let's tell me your name over here again. Yes, you. Yes. Juan. Does your dog have a name? Yeah. What's your dog's name?
Bambi.
What is it? Bambi? All right. Does Bambi look like a deer? All right, just all right, Bambi. Good name. Why did you name him that? Just sounded cute? All right, all right. Where does Bambi stay? At your house. How does Bambi get food? Okay, you feed her. Who feeds your dog? You? Okay, all right, you feed your dog. Who bathes your dog? All right, pointing to the left there, not Juan. Juan does not bathe his dog. Do you ever spend time with your dog, Juan? Yeah, okay. Does your dog contribute anything to the family? Does he have an important role in your family? What is that role? By being a dog. Okay. And I'm actually, I went with dog here rather than cat because dogs actually do contribute something. All right. Now the cat lovers hate me. Thank you, Juan, for your help. a pet's contribution is limited, and in the case of cats, even non-existent. But wow! I just keep digging that hole, don't I? All right. So I do have a few more questions for you. One. All right. Why do you do all of those things for Bambi, your dog? She's important. Okay. Any other reason that you might do them for your dog? All right. You love her. Does your dog know you? Okay. Does your dog love you? Okay. Big yes on that. Would you consider your dog part of your family? All right. Big yes on that. Ready for this one? This is my last question. And it's a sad one. All right. Would you cry if your dog died? Yeah. All right. All right. Absolutely. And here's the thing, and I'm kind of making a little connection here. While you and I are much different from dogs, the simple fact that God created this universe, this place that we live for us, it tells us that God wants us. It tells us that He does care about us. The fact that He provides everything that we need to live, it tells us really that He, God, loves us. He does. He loves us. And He wants us to know who He is. In fact, He wants us to love Him in return. And if you remember, that was one of the questions that we talked on or opened with last week, the meaning of life. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So this leads us to our next big question, and that is, who am I? Who am I? What did God make me to be? Why did God make me? Have any of you ever made something artsy and it turned out good? All right. Who here has made something artsy and it turned out really good? Right here. Kent, what was it you made?
All sorts of things.
Okay. Do you have something that you made that you display it at home?
I had a wood working.
Okay, woodworking. Okay, and it is displayed at home, right? And is it something that is just art, or does it have a function?
It both.
Okay, so
me.
Okay, so why do you display it?
Because it's a chest.
It's a what?
A chest.
A chest. Okay.
You open it up and put blankets in it.
Okay.
Clothing.
Serves a purpose.
And it also serves as a bench at the entrance of my...
Okay, it has a dual purpose. And does it bring you pleasure?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else here have done something artsy? Okay, Cindy. And it's displayed at home?
Yes.
Does it bring you pleasure?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of those things, in fact, art in general, a lot of art really doesn't serve any purpose at all other than to bring us pleasure. I don't know, maybe you have a hole in the wall that you needed to cover. That might be different. All right. But anyway, art in general is created to bring us pleasure, to bring us enjoyment. And I want you to know that is one of the reasons God made you. Here's our first point. Mankind was created for God's pleasure. Mankind was created for God's pleasure. Everything that you see in the world, in the universe, was made for God's pleasure, for His enjoyment. And that includes, and especially includes, you and I. We can bring joy to God. We can bring Him pleasure. Revelation 4:11, and depending upon what translation you have, it reads a little bit different. But my translation says this. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." In other words, the only reason really that you and I exist is because God wanted us to. He wanted us. He wanted you to exist. In fact, I think it is the King James Version that directly says that we were created for God's pleasure. We were created for His pleasure. God decided to make us for His enjoyment. Which means God wants us. He didn't need us. He wanted us. You are wanted. You are wanted no matter how alone you might feel sometimes. No matter how much of an outcast you might feel like sometimes. No matter how out of place you may feel in this world sometimes, at your school even, maybe even at your home, you're wanted. God wants you. It also means that He cares. He cares about us. In fact, back in 1 Peter, the series that we just kind of finished there, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares. He cares for you. God cares about every big thing, every little thing in your life, and He wants you. He wants you to have joy in life because that is why He created you. Your joy brings Him joy. John 15:9-11, Jesus said this. He says, "As the Father loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." And then He says this, "These things I have spoken to you that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Mankind was created for God's pleasure. Secondly, this morning, mankind was created in God's image. Have you ever noticed that the people you have the best relationship with are typically people that you have the most in common with? Have you noticed that? It's not always the case, but I think most of the time, the people that we are closest to, the people that we have the best relationship with, we have some very important things in common. Here you are at Cedar Mountain Retreat, and the chances are good that some of your best friends are here with you because you both like Cedar Mountain Retreat. Okay, we can have some of the best relationships with people in which we have the most in common. My best friend is my wife. Now, she's out in junior church right now, so she's not going to hear any of this. You can please tell her later. My best friend is my wife. Do you want to know some things we have in common?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. All right. We both love me. We both think I'm handsome. Now, mind you, we might be the only two people in the whole world that think I'm handsome, but that's enough to have a relationship. We have that in common. Well, we have a number of things in common with our Creator, too. In fact, He made us with these things because He has them and He wants a relationship with us. Back to the passage that Richard just read. In Genesis 5, 1 and 2, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. So how are we like God? What has He blessed us with? Well, we were made with personality. Okay, and we talked about this a little bit concerning God last week. And if you remember, last week we learned that God has personality. These are traits of His. Personality is made up really of intellect. It's made up of sensibility. It's made up of will. And just like God has those things, we have those things. Just like God has intellect, we have intellect. Intellect really is the ability to think and reason and understand. And this is one of those areas, while there are smart dogs and dumb dogs, while there are dumb cats, and ornery cats, they can't think like we do. Up at middle school, I'm not going to do it here, but up at middle school camp, I brought a Rubik's Cube and mixed it up. And I asked, middle schoolers can do this. There might be a couple of you here that can, but I handed it to a young man, Joshua, and he solved it. Who was up there? Austin was up. Do you remember how you...
Oh, I was at the camp. I thought you were talking about Steve. No,
right there. How quick did Joshua solve that?
A little over a minute,
okay. But you know, you hand a mixed up Rubik's Cube to a dog, and he'll eat it. All right? A cat would not eat it. All right. One plug for a cat. We got something good out of this. All right. Where was I? God created us with intellect because it's something that we can have in common. Now, while God's intellect is perfect, ours is not, okay? There is nothing that God can't figure out. There are things that we can't figure out. But the point here is God has given us the ability to reason and think and understand so that we can have that in common with Him and understand that we can have a relationship with Him. He gave us intellect. He gave us sensibility. Just like God has sensibility, we have sensibility. And sensibility is the ability to feel emotion. To feel things in our being. It's not about just a physical feel, but to feel things in our being. To be happy, to be sad, to be angry, to be pleased. I mean, we might feel sad if our dog or cat died. Okay? We have that capability because God gave it to us. However, God's sensibility, again, is perfect. Ours is not. Sometimes we get angry for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we're sad when we shouldn't be. But we do have that sensibility from God. And just like God has intellect, we have intellect. Just like God has sensibility, we have sensibility. Just like God has a will, we have a will. Will is the ability to make a choice based oftentimes upon intellect and sensibility. Okay, should I do this good thing or not? Should I do this bad thing or not? And the choice we make is our will. Now, God's will is perfect. All right. He never makes a bad choice. He never chooses wrong, always chooses what is right. But sometimes we choose wrong, don't we? And that, by the way, is going to be a major part of next Sunday's lesson. For it was a choice, a desire of man that brought sin and evil into the world that God has created. But we were made by God with personality. That's part of our being created in His image. Something else that connected to His image is we were made with morality. This is the trait of being good and innocent. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we are told that after God created man, he called all of creation very good. And while God is holy and perfect, in the beginning man was created good and innocent because we were created in God's image. We were made with morality. We are also made with spirituality. God is the eternal spirit, and He created us with an everlasting spirit. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And that breath of life is actually the spirit that God has given us. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So while this physical body has an end, you and I, we are everlasting. We were created. You and I, created by God in His image to live forever. Our spirit will exist forever after this body is long gone. And that's something else we're going to talk about in weeks to come too. But we were made with personality. We were made with morality. We were made with spirituality. And we were made to have dominion. Just like God has dominion over everything, He has created us to have dominion over the earth. We read that in Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" You see, these are all ways that we were created in God's image so that we could have a relationship with Him. He made us like Him so that we could have that commonality, that connection to Him. We have some things in common. Thirdly, this morning, mankind was created as God's children. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I," God speaking here, "yet I will not forget you." In 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." Again, we're going to talk about that later on in this series as we progress in weeks to come. But just know that we were created as God's children, which means that we are valuable to Him. What do you think of when you think of something valuable? Somebody. What do you think of when you think of something valuable? What comes to mind?
My life.
Your life? All right. And I guess what rather than an object, why is something valuable to you?
Good health.
Okay, that's something of value, but why is it valuable? Yes, right?
Possibly irreplaceable.
Okay, possibly irreplaceable. Any other thoughts on that? All right, the middle schoolers had trouble with that question too, just so you know. But no, good answers, really. But when we think of something valuable, it's something that has worth, right? Value, something that is very important to us, like our health, okay? That's what God sees in us. Let me illustrate it this way. We are worthwhile to God, all right? That's what we're being told here. We're worthwhile. But if you dropped a penny in the toilet after you went, would you retrieve it? No, just whoosh, it's gone. If you dropped a $100 bill in the toilet after you went, would you retrieve it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be in there in a minute. I'd get some gloves, but I'd do it. It's worthwhile, right? It's worthwhile. We, as human beings, we are worthwhile to God. We have value. In fact, we as human beings are of higher worth than everything else in creation. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus himself said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" You are valuable to God. You are worthwhile to God. There is nothing in this world more valuable to God than His children. We're precious to Him. How do you treat something that is precious? Lovingly, with care, delicately, carefully, right? Okay, you protect it. You provide for it. You care for its safety. Back in February of 2024, I read an article about a mom who ran into her burning house. It was burning to the ground and died trying to save her baby. There's an old story about another mom and a baby. They got caught out in this wildfire out in the wilderness. She was surrounded, no way out. So she found a dry ditch. She laid down in that ditch, covered her baby under her while the wildfire went over the top of her. They found her dead with the baby alive under her. A few years ago, 3-year-old little boy fell into a river. His dad jumped in to save him. The dad drowned, holding him up. I want you to know that mankind was created as God's children. You're precious. You're precious to Him. There's nothing in this world more precious to God than His children. In Psalm 116:15, it says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. In other words, it hurts God. It hurts God to see His children die. We are precious to Him. And He has and will go to extremes. Extremes. To provide and protect us from the harm of death. Why? We're loved. We're loved by Him. Isaiah 43:4. Since you were precious in my sight, says God, you have been honored, valued, and I have loved you. Listen, we live in a world where there is a lot of hate. There is a lot of evil. There are people that will tell us that they love us and then do horrible things. Perhaps we have told people that we love them and then did something horrible. But that's not God. That is not God. God's love for you is perfect and everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Mankind was created as God's children. And then lastly, this morning, mankind was created as God's friend. I want you to take note that all of these points point back to creation. This is what we were created to be. All right? We were created as precious. We were created in His image. We were created as His children. And lastly, mankind was created as God's friend. We were created as His friends. What is a friend?
You can call and share everything with.
Okay, someone you can call, someone you can talk to, someone you can confide in, someone that will be there for you through the good times and the bad. Okay. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. In John 15:14, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. So a friend is one who is attached to another by affection, in the good times and the bad, as opposed to a foe or enemy. A friend is one who esteems another with respect and affection, which leads him to desire his company, to seek to promote happiness, prosperity, encouragement. Am I being a friend when I speak evil of a person? No. All right. Middle schoolers knew that too. Am I being a friend when I don't spend time with a person? No. Am I being a friend when I don't try to please a person? I'm speaking in very general terms, I know. But I mentioned earlier that my wife is my best friend on this earth. And therefore, I should not speak evil of her, but rather speak well. She takes great care of me. In fact, there are times when I wonder why she loves me and serves me the way she does. I love to spend time with her. In fact, I like you guys. But if I had to choose between you and her, see you later. Okay? And I should be living my life to please her. I should serve her and take care of her because that's what friends do for one another. Well, all of that to say, mankind was created as God's friend. And while He is the perfect friend to us, we were made to have a perfect relationship with God. We were made to bring Him pleasure and bless Him. We were made to have perfect fellowship with God, to spend time with Him, agree with Him, to have the same likes and dislikes as Him, to never be opposed to Him. We were made to have perfect lives with God. And as we live to please Him in everything we do, He blesses us to the degree that nothing bad ever happens. Now, I've said these things the way I said them for a reason. Because since we were created for His pleasure, in His image, as His children, and as His friends, a few last questions. Do you have a perfect relationship with God? Do you have perfect fellowship with God? Do you have the perfect life? Do you? You don't. And that leads us to our next big question, which we're going to look at next week. And that is, what happened? What happened? If we were created to be all of these things, what happened? Why is the world such a mess? Why am I such a mess? Why do I love things that God hates? Why am I attracted to things that God blatantly says, purposely says, is a sin? What in the world happened? Why do I do things that actually ruin me? Why do I hate things that God loves? That's what we're going to look at next week. What happened? Where did evil, sin, where did it come from? But just to close out our morning here, I want you to know that God does love you. He values you. You are precious to Him. And He will and has gone to extremes to provide for you and protect you and even bring you back to Him. More on that in weeks to come. What happened, though, that we don't act like His children, His friends anymore? Well, again, that next week. For this morning, let's pray. Father, we do give You thanks for the fact that You created us, that You created us for Your pleasure, that You created us so that we could have Your joy in our life, and that we could even bring You joy. We give You thanks that You created us in Your image, that we could even come to a place and understand who You are and what You've done for us because You created us in Your image. And we can even feel bad because for some reason we've departed from what You've created us to be. We are special. You've created us as special. You want us to be with You rather than without You forever. We give thanks to You for the fact that You see us as valuable, precious, loved children. We thank You that we can be. We've been created to be Your friends, and we can be again. That's who You created us to be. And we look forward, Lord, to looking at how we came to this place of not being those things, but how we might be redeemed and reconciled to You. So we thank you for everything we've learned about who you've created us to be this morning. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand one more time together.